All right, Rabosai, good morning. Good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To thank Jerry and Sarah Walansky for dedicating Or Rishum and Joshua's this month in the Schuster of Shalema for their grandson, Zechariah Dov Ben Perel Shira, Shane Dean Avram Kelman, in memory of their beloved parents, and in the Schus of all those who need a Refuah Shalema. Dr. Linda Weinberg, in loving memory of her husband, Dr. Paul Weinberg, Peretz Moshe Ben Avram, David Selma Wolf, with immense gratitude to Hashem, and with tefillos for health for all in the new year. Leah's soul is a schus for Refuah Shlema for her daughter, Ilana Bas Esther, and for all those in need of Yeshua. So we thank our week of learning sponsors, Jeff Schwartz, in appreciation for the Daf Yomi Shir, and Valerie Asipov as a schus for Refuah Shlema for Irina Bas Brilliant, who is having brain surgery today at 12 o'clock p.m. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the surgery is successful, and she, together with Kol Cholis, will have a complete and enduring refuah. But let's say we have a lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. A lot to do today and not a lot of time. That seems to be the story of our shir. So we'll say today's daf is Mem Zayin 47. We are picking up on Mem Vav on the base 46b, 23 lines up from the bottom. Yeah, that's right. 23 lines up from the bottom. All right, so remember again, we left off the entryway to the sugi that we are currently engaged in, Rabbi Osei, was the situation of what happens if one goes ahead and is Mekadesh's sister. One gives Kiddushin money to one's sister. So obviously, Kiddushin is not Tofsin with the sister. What's the status of the money? So the Machlokes, Rav and Shmuel. Rav says the money is returned back to the brother, and Shmuel says that it is a gift. It's a gift. And I will say, interestingly enough, everyone agrees that halacha l'maisa, a person knows that he can't marry his sister. Right? Everyone knows that. So then the question just is, ultimately, again, why is one giving that money to his sister? So again, remember, so Rav said he's giving it as a pikadon. He's giving it as, he wants his sister to watch it, but his sister's going to refuse it, so he drives kiddushin. Shmuel says he wants to give her a gift. But at the end of the day, again, she might be embarrassed to accept the gift. This is the way to get her to accept the gift. So I will say, the Gemara then brought up the case of going ahead and giving challah from flour. Remember, again, you don't give challah from flour, you give challah from dough. So what's the halacha, ultimately, again, if you give a coin flour as challah? So interestingly enough, the Gemara said, if you did that, the coin has to give it back. And if he holds on to it, it's gezel. So the Gemara says, well, since we're picking up, so the Gemara says, v'tehevi truma v'lo socha ad shiyotzi alecha l'mokom achar. I don't understand. So why not say like this? So, says, so again, I'm not going to go through all of the steps of the previous steps of the Gemara. The Gemara says like this, let the kohen hold on to the challah. Let him hold on, I shouldn't say challah. Let him hold on to the flour. Let him have the flour. Let it be considered like truma. In other words, let it be consecrated for the kohen. And then the Yisrael is going to have an obligation to still separate out more challah. In other words, now what's what the Gemara is bothered by is, why does the kohen have to give him back? Just let him hold on to it and let the obligation to re-separate challah be on the Yisrael. To which the Gemara says, Milo tan, do we not learn mina nokav ashe ino nokav, truma v'lo socha, at shiotzi la truma umasi yomakam achar. Most of the time, this memory again we've had in every mesechta, kind of it comes up in one way or another. Otzitz nakov, otzitz she'enol nakov. A perforated flower pot, a non-perforated flower pot. So a perforated flower pot is considered to be attached to the ground. Non-perforated is not attached to the ground. So what happens if halacha l'maisa, a person goes ahead and separates out truma from the produce in the non-perforated pot for the produce that's in the perforated pot? They will say that obviously it doesn't work. That doesn't work because one is potter, right? One batch of produce is potter, one batch of produce is chayiv. So if you did this, the Gemara says, what's the halacha? Meragav she'enol nakov, truma v'lo socha she'yotzi ala truma. What you separated is called truma, but you have an obligation to separate out truma from another source as well. So in other words, why not employ that same logic here as well and just let the kohen keep the flour, let it be designated ultimately again as truma, and let the obligation upon the kohen be, I'm sorry, let the obligation upon the Israel be to separate out challah again, to which the Gemara says, betray minitzois, bechad manalotzois. People will listen to you to retithe when you're dealing with two entities. In other words, in this case, with the perforated flour pot, the non-perforated flour pot, a person could hear, okay, I tithe from an exempt batch on an obligated batch. So with two different entities, people will listen. With one entity, people won't listen. In other words, the Yisrael is not going to listen to re-tithe the same dough again, or the same flour again. The other possibility is the Olam coin meets us tzayis. So the other possibility is another coin would listen. V'kasaver balabayis niskina isasal ba'asi l'michla b'tivla. Shabbos, the other possibility is, you know what the issue over here is? When you go ahead and you give the coin flour as his challah, you know what the problem is? The problem is not the coin. The problem is the Yisrael. See, the Yisrael now thinks that he has satisfied his tithing obligation. Right? The Yisrael thinks he's done his job. He's now able to eat his dough because he's separated out challah. Turns out, he hasn't separated out challah. And what? And what? He's going to consume tevel. To which the Gemara says, one second, we just said before, everyone knows that you can't separate out challah from flour. Yodeh ve'en yodeh. People know and they don't know. Yodeh she'en mafishin challah kemach. People know that really you can't separate out challah from flour. Ve'en yodeh. But what don't they know? The suffer time is shumai. If you ask a person, you ask a stam person, why can't you separate out challah from flour? What will they answer you? Mishum tircha de koin. Because it's, as they say, it's a krich, right? It's difficult for the koin. It's difficult for the koin. That ultimately the coin is going to get flour, then he has to bake it off. So they think, in reality, the reason you can't separate out challah from flour is because it makes the coin's life too difficult. But if the coin accepts flour, then what happens? If he accepts the flour, that means he accepts what? The tircha as well. The tircha as well. So therefore, again, as much as people know you can't separate out challah from flour, they think it's because of tircha for the coin. If the coin accepts it, then he's effectively accepted the tircha, in which case it should be good. So again, why not go ahead and say that halacha l'maisa, let the flour, instead of causing the coin to have to return the flour, why not go ahead and just say coin, you could keep it. It's called truma. And ultimately, again, make the Yisrael obligated to retake challah again. After all, it's the same question we asked before. Milotzanan, did we not learn? Misha'inu nakov ala nakov. Again, if you tithe produce from a non-perforated flour pot onto produce from a perforated pot, so what's the halacha? Yachs truma. What you separated is truma. The yachs are v'yitrum. But you have to tithe again. So the Twitch Gemara says, so again, using this logic, we should say the flour should remain, quote unquote, truma. Let the coin go ahead and keep the flour. And halacha l'maisa, cause the Yisrael to retithe again. Ha'okimna, betray money tzayis, v'chad mana lotzayis. Well, this is exactly what we said before. When it comes to two utensils, a person will listen because they'll recognize that, again, I tithe from one batch on another batch and it's not good. When it's one entity, like we're dealing over here with the coin, a person is not going to listen to go ahead and retithe. For low tithes, is that true? That's when we learned. Hatorim kishos. So listen to this. Hatorim kishos. V'nimtza mara. Also listen to this. I'm tithing cucumbers. Tithing cucumbers. And it turns out that some of the cucumbers, that which I separated out as truma, is bitter. In other words, the produce is not good. Avatiach, or I'm tithing melons, v'nim says saruach. And one of the melons, or some of the melons that I used, that I designated as truma, turns out that what? They're spoiled. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Truma. That which you separated is still truma. V'nim v'yachzer v'yitrum. But you have to tithe again to go ahead and have appropriate produce. So we'll say, now, what do you see? What's the point? What do you see from here? You see from here that when you engage in an ineffective tithing process, that which you have tithed is still considered, it still has the status of the particular truma, right, or the particular tithe, but you have to go back and do it again. And I will say, based on this logic, remember, let's loop this back around. So what do we have over here? We have a case of a guy giving flour as challah to a kohen. Can you give flour to a challah? I'm sorry, can you give flour as challah to a kohen? No, what do you have to give? Dough. So again, the Brisa said, Kohen, gotta give back. Gotta give back if you don't, it's gezel. Why? Just let the Kohen keep it. Let the Kohen keep it. Let the tithing, so to speak, be semi-effective. Let him keep it. And Yisrael, you have to retithe. That's what's happening over here. So what's this fascinating? Mar says, it's not a good raya. Why? Shiny hush of them in the Raisa, Truma Ma'al Yehi. This is not a good example. Why? I was like, because technically speaking, when you go ahead and you tithe, even if you separate out spoiled produce, technically speaking, your act of tithing is a valid one. It's a valid act of tithing. Mid Rabbi Eloi, Dom Rabbi Eloi, Minayin L'Torah Minayra Aliyah Asher Truma So Truma. How do you know that even if you went ahead and you separated out inferior produce or compromised produce as Truma for superior produce, that it works? Shene'emar V'lo Tisu Alav Chet Baharim Chemes Chalbo. Literally, again, do not bear any iniquity, do not bear any sin when you go ahead and you separate out your Truma. Obviously, what is the Torah talking about over here? The Torah is talking about don't separate out inferior produce as truma. Because right, it'll be sinful if you do. And I will say, something's only sinful if what? If what? If the act is effective. Right? If the act of it is ineffective. In other words, if separating out inferior produce as truma doesn't work, right? Doesn't result in a truma designation, then what? Then what? Then it's not sinful. Because I didn't do anything. The fact that it's sinful indicates that my act is actually effective. So I'll say ultimately again, so from here you see that halacha l'maisa, if one in fact separates out inferior produce as a tithe for superior produce, then halacha l'maisa it works. So I will say, so bottom line over here. So interestingly enough, what's the halacha? The way that Rabban Paskins is that if you go ahead and you separate out challah, ultimately again, from flour and give it to the kohen must return it. Now I will say, now the reason why this case of challah is different, even though there are other cases where even if you make an ineffective designation of truma, for example, that the kohen keeps it and you have to retithe it, the reason why I do this, I will say, is because by challah there's a real concern that if the Yisrael thinks that his batch of dough that he's going to make is as they say, you know, challah has been taken, that's a real issue. It could also be a potential issue by the kohen as well. So since there's a potential double issue over here, if you gave challah from flour, kohen must give it back and ultimately show that it's an ineffective removal of challah. Incredible. What about the case of giving money to your sister? What happens if a man goes ahead and is mekadesh, quote unquote, is mekadesh his sister? What happens with that money? So once again, the Rambam paskins that halacha l'maisa, like Shmuel, that it's matana. Interesting, it's matana. Like that, because a person knows that he can't be mekadesh his sister. The pikadon case, I guess, is a little bit more too far-fetched for the Rambam to accept. So therefore, the Rambam accepts that halacha l'maisa, that money has the status of a matana, and therefore the sister need not return it. Incredible. Amar Rava. Let's go back there. Lo shanu, top of Mamzayin. Lo shanu. I will say, now remember again, we're going back now to our Mishnah. Specifically, the third statement of the Mishnah. What was the third statement of the Mishnah? Remember, what was the Mishnah? Reuven is being Mekadesh Rachel with what? Dates. So we had two cases in the Mishnah, right? So case number one of the Mishnah was Hiskachili Bezu, right? All that case only works if what? If one of those dates is independently worth a pruta, right? Case number two was Hiskachili Bezu. Then what's the halacha? Collective pruta from all of the dates. What was the third case in Mishnah? Third case in Mishnah is she's eating the dates as they come in. So the Mishnah said in that situation, what's the halacha? She has, one of them has to be worth a pruta. And it sounded like from the Gemara, the last one has to be a pruta. Otherwise, you're getting into a situation of mekadesh b'milva, of being mekadesh woman with alone. So now here we go. So Amar Rava. Rava said, lo shanu. That will say, now, this idea that we said before, that if she's eating the dates as they come in, that the dates do not combine to form a shava pruta. That's only true. Ela da'amar la bizu ubizu ubizu. Right? That's what I was saying, where again, there's still some level of independent lashon with this one, with this one, with this one. Aval, amar la be'elu, but if he said to her, become kudesh esmi be'elu with these dates, then what Rabbi was saying? Then halacha l'maisa, ochlos nami, I'm sorry, afilu ochlos nami mikudeshes. Even if she's eating them as they come in, she's mikudeshes. Why? Because ki ka'achla midinav shakachan. I'm saying, I remember it again. When we said before, bizu ubizu ubizu, what was the problem if she's eating them? What's the problem? The problem, as Rabbi say, is remember, the kiddushin is not really chal until when? Till when? Till the last date. If it's not chal till the last date, that means that the previous dates are all a halva. If he, however, says be'elu, then I will say be'elu means all of the dates from the beginning are the kiddushin. So to see, look at Rashi for just a moment. Ava be'elu. Well, first of all, he says Rashi says, if I look at the previous Rashi, Ela de Amar la bezu u bezu u bezu, to lo garmi kiddushin v'lo nikna la ad nesina achrona, shi gemar diburo. Remember, the kiddushin is not effective until the last date is given. However, Rashi says, Ava be'elu, mikabelas harishona, sorry, mikabalas harishona, lo ba'asa li yada betoras milve, Tichishenigmar dibar hikna la b'taras kiddushin. Tichi achla medida ka achla. Fafilu achla rishon rishon mikudeshes imish b'kulon shavar pruta. Now, we'll say when it says be'elu, so effectively, again, remember what he's doing is he's giving all of them over to her as a unit. So, because of that, as long as they combine together to form a pruta, even if she's eating them one, right? Even if she's eating them as they come in, halach l'maisa the kiddushin works, and it's not called avo. Tanya Kavase de Rabba, so there's a bright that supports Rabba, so it was a very interesting distinction. His kachili ba alone berimon be'egos. Bekami kudesh estimir, we'll say alone is an acorn, rimon is a pomegranate, egos is a nut. Right? So bekami kudesh estimir with these items. O sha'arla his kachili be'elu. Or if he says to her, bekami kudesh estimir with these. With these. Imish pekulon shaver pruta mikudeshes. If collectively, right, they have, right, if collectively it's worth a pruta, then ultimately, again, she's mikudeshes. Ve'imlav, and if not, in mikudeshes, she's not mikudeshes. Bezu, u bezu, u bezu. What happens if he says with this one, this one, this one? Imish pekulon shaver pruta mikudeshes. If ultimately, again, collectively, there is a pruta, then she's mikudeshes. Ve'imlav, in mikudeshes. Fine. Bezu, not lots, right? If he says, become mikudeshes with this one. And not loss of achla, so she took it and she ate it. And bezu, that is becoming this thing with this. She not loss of achla, so she took it and she ate it. Va'od bezu, and with this one, va'od bezu, eina mikudeshes ad shehe ba'achas mehen shaveh pruta. Ultimately, again, she's not mikudeshes until one of them is a shaveh pruta. Fine. So now the Gemara says, what's this case? Hai ba'alon berimon be'egos hechi dami. We'll say, what is the case over here of the acorn, the pomegranate, and the nut? So, ilema de amrla oba alone, oba rimon, oba egos. So, if he said to her, become a kudesh estimi, either with the acorn, with the pomegranate, or with the nut, then I will say, then, in yesh bekulon shever pruta mikudeshes, it can't be that could be a din in collective value. That's vaha okamar. In other words, we'll say, if you say oh, then what's going to be the halacha? How is she mikudeshes? Only if what? Only if what? Only if one of them is worth a pruta independently. To Radhi Gemara, so what's the case? Ve'ela, ba'alon, uberimon, ube'egos. So also, rather, it must be a case of where he's saying, become a kudesh to me with all of these things. All of these things. And then we'll say, if it's all of them, then what? Then as long as collectively they are worth a pruta, we are good to go. But if that's the case, hainu, bizu, ubizu, ubizu. But also, but then that's the same case as zu, ubizu, ubizu. It's the same case. Ela, lav da amar lohu be'elu. Rather, I will say it must be that one of the cases is where she says elu. Now, I'm sorry, where he says elu. Now, I will say, interestingly enough, what's going to be the distinction between zu, ubizu, ubizu and elu? They sound like the same thing. So remember again, the nafkamina case will be when she's eating the items as they come in. If it's zu, ubizu, ubizu, then he has in mind, ultimately, again, that the kiddushin is not really complete until the last item is given, which means if she's consuming them as they're coming in, the items that she's consuming has the status of a halva, not kiddushin. If, however, he says be'elu, be'elu makes all of them a unit. If it's a unit, then halacha l'maisa, there's no halva. Everything from the beginning, ultimately, again, is part of that unit of kesef kiddushin. To which the Gemara said, I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but that's the decision. Hami diktani seifa, o sha'amala iskachili be'elu. Aye, but at the end of the Brice, it says, he says to her, bekami kudeshni with these items, mechlav deresha lav be'elu askina. Sounds like the Resha is not talking about elu. To which the Gemara says, you're right, perushe kamefarish. We'll say the second part of the right. One part of the Brice is coming to explain the other part. Here we go. Hiskachili ba'alon berimon be'egos. If a man says to him, become a kudesh to me with an acorn, a pomegranate, or a nut, ketzad, what's the case? So we'll say, so that's the case, right? The case is become a kudesh to me with these items. Now the Gemara says ketzad. Okay, so what are the mechanics of what we're talking about over here? Kigon da'amrla, his kachili be'elu. The case is where he says to her, become a kudesh to me with these items. I, the katoni seifa, bezu. The Katani Seifa. Listen to this. Then the Braisa comes along and says like this. For Katani Seifa, Bizu, not Lasa Vachlasa. Right? If he says to her, ultimately again, Bizu. So Bizu, Bizu, Bizu. And in that case, not Lasa Vachlasa. If she's taking the items and eating it as they come in, in Yeshpa Achas Men Shavarputa Mikudeshas. The Imlab, in a Mikudeshas. So I can't remember. So this is the distinction we made before. If he's saying Bizu, Ubizu, Ubizu. Now remember, on one hand, what's the maila? What's the benefit of saying bizu, bizu, bizu? What's the benefit? Combines, right? In other words, all you need in a typical case is for it to have a combined value of a shavah pruta, right? Where's the potential challenge in that case? If she's eating it as it comes in. Because if she's eating it, Rabbi says, if she's eating it as it comes in, then what do you need? Then you need one of the items to be worth a pruta. Right, because again, since she's consuming it, and the earlier items have the status of a halva, and as you saw in yesterday's daf, you cannot be mekadesh woman with a halva. We're going to come back to that idea a little bit today as well. So therefore, in order for it to work, one of the items, either the egos, the rimon, or the alon, have to be worth a pruta. On the other hand, v'ilu reisha, right, the Gemara says, v'im lavin ekdash, v'ilu reisha, lo kamaflik ben ochelas lemanachas, but yet the reisha doesn't make a distinction between whether or not you're eating it or you're leaving it. Why is that? Shmamina kolhecha da amrla be'elu ki ka'achla minafsha ka'achla shmamina. Bose, what do you see from here? You see from here, Bose, a fascinating distinction between saying be'elu and bizu ubizu ubizu. So Bose, so essentially, what we have over here is really three different cases, right? Case number one is where you're saying, become mikudeshes to me with this, become mikudeshes to me with this, become mikudeshes to me with this. So now it turns out that's the easiest case. Why? Because what happens in that case, Rabbi Osai? In order for that case to affect Kiddushin, what has to happen? One of them has to be a Shavar Pruta. And the truth is, in that situation, we don't care if you're eating it or not eating it. It makes no difference because one of those items now. The intriguing case will be, okay, let's go case number two. Bizu, bizu, bizu. What's going to be the halacha? Combined. So I will say, so as long as halacha lamaisa, the combination of all the items being given is worth a pruta, then halacha lamaisa she's mikudeshes. What's the wrinkle in that case? The wrinkle in that case is if as she's receiving the items, she's eating them. Then I will say, what's going to be the halacha in that case? What's going to be the halacha then? Then you go back to needing one of the items to be independently worth a pruta. Why? Because Rabbi say the way it works in bizu u bizu u bizu is when is the kiddushin complete? When is the kiddushin complete? Only after the giving of the last item. Which means, what's the status of the earlier items being given? Halva, a loan. She's consuming the loan items as they come in. They're no longer extant. If they're no longer extant, then the maisa again, they can't be used for kiddushin. So therefore, it only works effectively if one of the items being given is independently worth a pruta. However, now we're introduced to a third category. Third category is, a man is going to be giving a woman a number of items. In this case, again, alon, rimon, egos. And he says, hiskachi li be'elu. Oh. So I said, what does be'elu do? Be'elu makes them into one cohesive unit. So like, be'elu is like a modified and elevated bizu, bizu, bizu. Because like zu, bizu, bizu, be'elu says, what do you need? Combined pruta. Unlike zu, bizu, bizu, it's not a halva. What Elu says is, from the beginning, this is a unit of Kiddushin. I just happen to be giving you the unit of Kiddushin in three stages, the Alon, the Rimon, and the Egos. But Lamaisa, even if she consumes it as it comes in, as long as the collective value of all the items being given is a Pruta, we are good to go. Fascinating, fascinating case. The Gemara says, Hani Chalaman Damar, Asefakai. It was saying, going back, all of this makes sense. Going back to our Mishnah, if you say the case of her eating the items modifies the second case of zu ubizu ubizu in the Mishnah. However, umay acheva achas ben sharfut. Then one of the Mishnah said, "Well, this is yesterday's daf." And what did it mean in the Mishnah when it said until one of the items has a pruta? Achihe ba'achrona shava pruta, until the last item being given is worth a pruta. Hachanami achihe ba'achrona shava pruta. So to what you see over here as well, that in the case of zu ubizu ubizu, really, when we say until it's a pruta, it really means the last item being given, if she's consuming it, the last item being given has to be a shavar pruta. El Ravu Shmuel Da'ami Tarvayu Aresha Kai. But current Ravu Shmuel, Lusei Rabbo said, that's what? That in the Mishnah, the case of Ocheles modifies the Resha. modifies the resha, hiskachi li bezu, then ultimately, el rabbi shmuel darmi tarvayo aresha kai va'ocheles istrichalei hacha klali kachashe prati lo kachashe. We're talking about general cases, not specific cases. To which the Gemara says, no, ha mani rebbi hi damar loshna kizayis veloshna kizayis ukizayis prata. Rabbi says we have to reflect the view ultimately again of Rebbe, right? And Rebbe holds that halacha lemaisa, that Rebbe says, we're not going to get into this case. This Rashi has an arichos over here. Rashi explains that you're talking about pigul, where a kohen has multiple machshavas, multiple intentions to go ahead and eat pigul or make something pigul by having again a disqualifying thought when offering up the karban. And Rebbe says it makes no difference if you use lashon of kizayis or kizayis. Ukizayis. Okay, so that's the way we would explain it according to Rav Shmuel. Both say, for our purposes, halacha l'maaseh, how do we come out on this? So it turns out, for our purposes, we actually have three cases, like we just said before. Case number one, everyone's going to agree. Well, not everyone, but in the case of hiskachli bezu, both say, what's the halacha? Let's just get this clear. What's the halacha? Ultimately, one of them has to go ahead and be worth a pruta. They will say, by the way, in general, whose opinion is that reflective of? Remember, the Gemara identified that as Rabbi Shimon. That's Rabbi Shimon by Shavua, right? A guy who's making an oath, ultimately, that he doesn't owe any money to five people. If he makes one general oath and he lies, there's one liability. Makes five independent oaths, ultimately, five independent statements of liability. So I'll say that's case number one. Case number two, bizu. Then what's the beauty in that case? All the items, combined pruta. And I will say, however, if she's eating it as it comes in a case of bizu, it only works if what? If the last one is worth a pruta. Now I will say, it turns out it's not just if one, but the last one has to be worth a pruta. Why? Because otherwise, again, everything before that has the stat. Everything before the last item being given has the status of a halva. And you cannot be mekadesh shomun bayat with a halva. However, now again, I've also introduced the third case. If you say it's kachili be'elu, becoming kadesh with these items, then what? Then that is a unit. And halacha lemaisa, even as long as combined, they are worth a pruta. Even if she's eating it as it comes in, kiddushin works. So we'll say it's important to actually let's do this now. So we'll say first wide line. I was going to talk about kiddushin b'milva. Let's talk about it now. Amarav kamakadish b'milva ain't mikudeshas. We'll say if a man let's go back to the core of here, the core discussion. If a man is mikudeshin with a milva, so we'll say so again. The Gemara doesn't tell us what case of halva we're talking about. We'll say technically speaking, there are two different ways to mikudeshin with a halva. Right up until now, what we've been focusing on is like this. Reuven lent Rachel $1,000. Okay? Now Reuven says to Rachel, become mikudesh with the halva, which would essentially mean what? Loan forgiveness. Right? Halavai shal bizocha, right? Loan forgiveness, right? That was from Mr. Schoenfeld, right? loan forgiveness. 3 years. Right? So let's say, listen to this. So that's the typical case. Then, of course, there is another case of kiddushim and milva, which is what? Right? Reuven loaned Shimon $1,000. And Reuven essentially assigns the loan to Rachel, right? And says, Rachel, right, become mikudesh to me with this loan that is now payable to you. So the Gemara is not making it clear which case we're talking about. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. Then, why? And we'll say, let's just go with case number one, which is Reuven lent Rachel money, and ultimately, again, is now forgiving the debt. So again, it's not mikudeshas. Why? Mivolot zanitna. I both say now again, we're getting to the core, to the kishkas of this sugya, which is very exciting. I both say, what does it mean mivolot zanitna? What that means is when Reuven lends Rachel money, I both say, who is the owner of that money? Who is the owner of it? Rachel. So therefore, it's interesting that when Reuven forgives the debt, he has not given Rachel anything. Right? She is the owner of that money. I shouldn't have to pay it back. Okay. But at that moment right now, he's not giving her anything. That is her money. That's what's called milvalot sunnit. And I will say, now, by the way, the way that manifests itself, look at Rashi for just a moment. It's the second wide line in Rashi. It's really important. Rashi says, Halovet Rashi Lotzia, Bahotza, Ve'eno Chayav Lamida Be'iska, Shete Mitsuya Becholes, Shita Veno. The chayvul lotzan nitna havi la kedida. Listen to this. Here's what does it mean milvalotzan nitna, right? So when Rachel receives that money from Reuven, Rabbi Ozai, so again, what restrictions does she have on that money? What restrictions does she have on it? So bepashtos, none. None. She does right. There's no limitation as to how she has to invest it. There's no limitation as to how, obviously, you could create a restricted loan, right? But Lamaisa, a typical loan, a typical hava, is Reuven's giving Rachel money. It's her money. It's her money. And it doesn't have to be readily available for repayment, right? She could do whatever she wants. Because she could do whatever she wants with that money, Lamaisa, in the eyes of Halacha, that is considered hers. And therefore, when he quote-unquote forgives the debt, he's not giving her something that didn't already belong to her. It's quite fascinating. To which the Gemara says, "Kinema ketanoi." So the Gemara says, "Machlokes tanoi." Hamekadesh milva ain't a mikudeshes. So I will say, if a man is mekadesh woman with a milva, she's not mikudeshes. V'yish omer mikudeshes. Some say she is mikudeshes. Wow, machlokes. So my love, balka meflagis. Well, so maybe they're arguing at the following point. The Mar Saver milva lo tzan nitna umar Saver milva lav lo tzan. This is so interesting. Maybe they're arguing about the very essence of a loan. Right? They will say, what is a loan halacha? Maybe one opinion says, when you receive loan money, it's yours. Do with it as you want. That's one opinion. Other opinion says, no, not true. Maybe halacha says, they will say that when you receive loan money, in other words, they will say, you know, I can't use it for whatever I want. I have to invest it responsibly or use it responsibly because at the end of the day, I have to repay that debt. So maybe I will say, again, there's machlokis as to how to use loan money. And that machlokis manifests itself as to whether or not loan forgiveness is an effective vehicle for kiddushin. To which the Gemara says, one second. V'tizbara, ima sev, look at the seifa. V'shavim, b'mechar, shezekana. I will say, interestingly enough, everyone agrees, however, that with a regular purchase, loan forgiveness works. So I will say, so just to show you this for just a second, Reuven lent Rachel $1,000. Think about kiddushin right now. Reuven lent Rachel $1,000. So Rachel owes Reuven $1,000. So now what happens? Reuven also, right, Reuven wants to go ahead, right, Reuven wants to purchase a car, right, from Rachel. So now the cost of the car is $1,000. So what could Reuven say? What could Reuven say? Rachel, keep the loan. And everyone agrees that that works. Interesting. Everyone agrees that by Mecher, Rashi says over here, in Machar, well, we have to read, right? Everyone agrees that by Mecher, ultimately, again, it works. Rashi, we shouldn't, that wasn't right to Rashi. It's not good cover to Rashi to say you're going to read Rashi and then I read it. Look at Rashi. V'sham v'mecher. Im machar lo karka shenikna bekesef. Im amr la milva shiyish ta alecha yehe lach b'shvil ha-mecher. V'nisratza lo kana lo keach im yeshna be'en. So as it's aloch al-maisa. Now Rashi adds in over here, im yeshna be'en, if the money is extant. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But al-maisa, loan forgiveness does work to affect a regular sale transaction. To which the Gemara, now one second. Now, if you hold that loan money really belongs to the borrower, then how ultimately, again, is Rachel able to acquire the money as the purchase price for the car? To which the Gemara says, Amrav Nachman, Huna Chavrin Mokim La. Bemili Achari. So we'll say Bemili Achari. So listen to this. So Huna, our friend, ultimately establishes this in a different way. Facham asking, what are we dealing with over here? Okay, going Shamar Law, his Kachili Bemana. Now we'll say, what's the case over here? The case over here is not Kiddushin Bahalva. That's not the case. He's not being Mikadesh with a loan. How is he being Mikadesh? Watch this. He says to her, become Mikudesh with a mana. And he gives her a mana. And what happens? Venimsa mana chaser dinar. She counts it. You know, she counts it, right? I don't know in front of him, not in front of him, right? But she counts it, and it turns out it's not a woman. There's a dinar, which is a relatively small amount of money that's missing. So it says, now what's the status of the kiddushin? So Mar Savar Ksifa Le Milsa Le Mitvei. So one says she's going to be too embarrassed to ask him for the money, but the kiddushin is not valid because she's not committing herself to that. He told her she's getting a mana. She didn't get a mana, but she's going to be too embarrassed to say anything. And therefore, again, the kiddushin is not good. Umar Sara Loki Sefer Le Muslim. The other opinion says, no, why should she be embarrassed? Right? Why should she be embarrassed? Lamaisa, she'll ask him. The Kiddushin is going to be valid. I will say, and now he owes her a dinar. Right? He owes her a dinar. Right? And therefore, Halacha Lamaisa. I'm sure that's way too late. Why is that alarm going on at 6:30 in the morning? What is that, for Sundays? It better be for Sundays. Let's say, Shekh Okay. Oof. Okay, so I'll say, so listen to that.
So I say, I have a little jealous of that. So now the shayla is over here. That halacha lemaisa, it's missing a dinar. So first opinion is going to say she's going to be too embarrassed ultimately to go ahead and ask him for that money, and therefore the kiddushin is not good. Second opinion will say that halacha lemaisa, no, she'll ask him for the money, and we'll say, so that's called kiddushin ba'ava. Why? Because now she commits herself to the kiddushin, but he owes her a dinar. He owes her a dinar. That's the case of kiddushin baal va. His cash the mana v'nasan la dinar. If he says to become a kiddush with a mana, and he gives her a dinar. So we'll say, so in this case over here, let's say he says become a kiddush with $100, and he gives her a dollar bill. He gives her a dollar. What's the halacha? Raise the mikudeshes v'yashlin. She's mikudeshes, but he owes her $99. So we'll say, you see from here that's what. That halacha lemaisa, a woman doesn't have a problem collecting whatever outstanding money. Lemer ketanoi, amr l'shmaite. Is this statement only effective according to one opinion of machlokes tanoi? No. Amri, mana chaser dinik seifalei l'mislel mitvei. Mana chaser tisha v'tisha lok seifalei l'mislel mitvei. We'll say, it's interesting. There's only the element of embarrassment when it comes to the collection of a relatively small amount of money. I just want to say, if you can imagine, if he said to become a gracious man with $100, and he gives her $99. So, yeah, I'm going to say, you know, is she going to go back to him for a dollar? So that's where there's the concern is. But if she's becoming pedestrian with $100, and he gives her a dollar, there's no embarrassment there, because it's clearly understood that he owes her the rest of the money. So that would be a case. Most I say, interesting, the way the Gemara is understanding it now is that the case ultimately of going ahead and the case of collecting, or the case of being mekadish woman with a halva is not what we thought before of loan forgiveness, but it's rather ultimately again of, because everyone agrees you can't mekadish woman with a halva. It's the case of where you're mekadish woman with money, and then it turns out the amount of money you promised is not there. There's something missing. So the shayla is the kiddushin valid or not? That's the machlokes. And specifically, when's the machlokes case? When there's a relatively small amount of money that's missing. One opinion says, no, she'll ask him for it, and halach lemaisa, the outstanding money is going to be considered a halva. Second opinion will say, no, halach lemaisa, she's too embarrassed, and she's not going to commit herself to the kiddushin. Incredible. Meisa, the Gemara is the kasha, homer le'ishe is kach li b'pikado sheish li b'yadecha, and I will say, in this case, Reuven has a deposit. Reuven deposited something with Rachel. So he says to her, listen, you keep the deposit, become a kudashes to me with the item. So we'll say, what happens? V'halcho matzasa shenignav osha avad. And then she goes to look for it, and it turns out that what? The pikadon was lost or was stolen. In the shtar himene mene shavar pruta, if there's at least a pruta of it left, then mikudashes. She's mikudashes ve'im lav, in a mikudashes, but if not, she's not mikudashes. Uba milva, when it comes to halva, af apishlo nishtayir himene shavar pruta mikudashes. And I will say, interestingly enough, if by halva, if again, he sounds like he's forgiving a loan, and let's say none of the, even as long as there's at least the pruta of the money left, ultimately, again, she's mikudashas. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says, Mishur Rabbi Meir, milva, on the days, loan, harehu ki pikadon. But say, a loan is no different than a pikadon. Otherwise, I will say, so just like ultimately, again, by a pikadon, if there is a pruta of the pikadon left, good. If there's not a pruta of the pikadon left, kiddushin won't work. Same thing by a halva. So the Gemara says, "Ad kan lo pligi el demar saver milva afakol lo nishtayr hemena shaver pruta umar saver nishtayr hemena shaver pruta in ve'ilo nishtayr hemena shaver pruta lo." As I will say, sounds like the machlokas I will say is whether or not you need a shaver pruta of the loan to be in existence at the time of the kiddushin. About the kuli alma mekadosh milva mekudeshes. But I will say, what's strange about this is it seems to be that at least in this iteration of the machlokas, everyone agrees. So we'll say, everyone is agreeing that you could affect kiddushin with a halva. Everyone is agreeing. What they're arguing about is, you know, how much of the loan do you need to be left, right? How much of the loan has to exist? But halacha lemaisa, everyone seems to be agreeing that you can be mekadosh milva. What's going on over here? We'll say, how do we start this whole sogya? How's that you can't be mekadosh with the milva? Amar Rav v'tisbara hamitaretzta. Why do you assume that this brayse is correct? Hamishabeshtehi. It's mistaken. I was say, what a profound statement. And I was going to say, Rav is saying, who says that this is right? Perhaps this in reality is a corrupted text. So the Rav says, one second. Rav is suggesting, you're right. This whole thing about being Kaddish with a halva doesn't work. It does not work. So the Gemara says, "Hai pikadon hechidami." So I'll say, let's focus for a second on the pikadon case, right? So in the pikadon case, Reuven had deposited something with Rachel. He says to her now, "You know that pikadon I gave you? Keep it as kiddushin. Keep it, and that should affect kiddushin." So what's the halacha? If she goes back and now she sees that the pikadon was stolen or was lost, so we'll say, Ishi mikudeshes? What does it depend on? Is there at least a shavah pruta of the pikadon left? As long as the shavah pruta of the pikadon left, we're good to go. So let's analyze this. Hai pikadon hechidami. Ide kabel aleach rayas hayu milvan. And we'll say, now if it's a pikadon where she accepted responsibility, what does responsibility mean? That if something happened to it, she has to pay it back. So the Rabbis say, essentially, that has the same status as a halva, right? As a loan. If she did not accept any achrayas on it, ihachi adatana seifa ubemilva afa pishul nishtayim mena shavar pruta mikudeshes. If that's the case, then when the seifa said that by a loan, even if there was nothing left of it, she was mikudeshes niflog v'nisne b'didei. Instead of getting into a case of halva, why not instead get into distinguish within the cases ultimately of pikadon and write the following? When is this so that you can make with the halva? Sorry, with the pikadon. So Gemara says, "B'medramurim shelo kibla le'achrayas." That's only when can you make with the pikadon? Rabbi say, if it's a pikadon that she doesn't have responsibility for, then as long as there is a shaver pruta worth of the pikadon left over, she can be mekudeshes with that. Aval kibla le'achrayas. But if she accepted achrayas on the pikadon, afa pishalonish dayer himena shaver pruta mikudeshes. Now we'll say, if halacha lemaisa she was makabel, she accepted achrayas, then we'll say that means she's responsible for that. If that's the case, even if there is not a pruta of the pikadon left over, still pikadon forgiveness should create kiddushin. Why? Because ultimately, again, she's no longer on the hook. Elo taritzaki. This I have to explain. So here we go. B'milva, afa pishne shtar himena shavar pruta inu mikudeshes. I will say, let's go. So now we're getting back to what we said before, right? We took a little bit of a circuitous journey with halva. We'll say, you can't be mekadesh a woman with a halva. Now, we'll say, remember again, I have what we said before, you could remember. When we were talking about before, throwing a very specific case. I'm in a case of a man who is being mekadesh a woman with a specific amount of money. He gives her money. It turns out that what? That the whole amount wasn't there. Okay, in that case, Rabbi say, then assuming that you feel, that you hold that the woman is going to go after him for the rest of the money, halacha lemaisa, that rest of the money becomes halva, she can become mekudeshes with that. That's a different kind of case. But in a typical case, where Reuven lent Rachel money, and now through loan forgiveness, he wants to make kaddish, sure everyone agrees, doesn't work. Again, even if there's some of the original loan money left over, let's say, watch this. Reuven lends Rachel $1,000, right? He says, Rachel, any of that original money still around? She says, yes, actually, again, there's a $100 bill from the original stack of money you give me. It's on my dining room table. Reuven says, Rachel, become the Kudeshes with that money. Again, Rabbi Sadiq Mar is suggesting now, that doesn't work. Now, that's an interesting Kiddush. Why? Because Rabbi say that's the original loan money. Right, it hasn't been spent. The Gemara seems to say now, even if some of the original loan money is still there, doesn't make a difference. You can be mekadeshim with a halva. Why? Again, why not? Milva l'otzan nitna, because loan money becomes the property of who? Of the borrower, and therefore Reuven is not giving Rachel anything new. Okay, now watch this. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Shemir Milva Harik Kadon. Rabbi Shimon Elazar said, and Rabbi Meir says no. Hava is just like a pikadon. I was like, meaning what? That the same way by pikadon, as long as there is at least a pruta's worth of the pikadon left over, you can be mekadesh with that. Hava, as long as there is a pruta worth of the hava left over, you can be mekadesh with that as well. So I might come in figure. So what are they arguing about? This is fascinating. Amar Rava, Ashkechesinu l'rabanan bebei rav, diyasi v'ka'amri. I say, here we go. What are they arguing? So it turns out, there is a machlokes. This whole time we were taking it for granted. You can't be mekadesh with the halva. Apparently it's a machlokes. Now, again, the opinion that says that you could be mekadesh with the halva, says that's assuming that that there is a pruta of the halva left over, so to speak. So what's the machlokes? So this is fascinating. What's the machlokes? B'milva b'rishos b'aylem l'chazar ahud. Who adin la'omzin kamiflegi. We'll say they are arguing about the following idea. How do we view loan money? How do we view loan money? Is loan money considered to be in the rishos of the b'aylem, of the lender? Right? For chazara. I'll give you a perfect example. Reuven gives, right? Reuven lends $1,000 to Rachel. Right? Gives her the money. Rachel has not done anything with the money yet. Could Reuven call the loan back? Could he call the loan back? Before the money has been spent, everyone is used, can Reuven call the loan back? And I will say, the corollary to that is void in the own sin. If something happens to the money before it is spent, ultimately, again, who has responsibility if something happened to the money? Demar Savar, Milvel, Birshos, Lovekaim, Avoid, and Onsin. One opinion will say no. We'll say as soon as the lender gives the borrower the money, who owns that money? Who owns it? Right? The borrower. Even if the borrower has not done anything with it, the borrower is the owner of that money. And as the owner of the money, if something happens to the money, who's responsible for it? The borrower. Mar Savar, Milvel, Birshos, Bailun, Kaima. Another opinion says, no, we'll say that halacha is actually fascinating. That is not the case. In fact, the halacha is that before the money has been spent, right, that money still belongs to the lender. Right? It's in the borrower's hand. Obviously, if it's in the lender's hand, then it's his money. Right? The chiddush over here is lender has given the borrower money, so borrower's holding a stack of cash. We'll say before, because the concept of milva lahotzan nitna means when you spend it, it becomes yours. But while that money is extended, while the original loan money is in existence, that loan money belongs to the borrower. And therefore, again, the borrower could call the loan back. He could call the loan. That's the halacha. But the corollary to that is, if something happens to the money, who's responsible for it? Ultimately, again, the lender as well. It's a fascinating machlokas. But we'll say, take a look. Let's go back there. Taminu lahu. So we'll say, for 1 second. But I said to that, la'onsim, no. We'll say, it can't be like that. For onsim, in other words, we'll say, once the lender gives the borrower the money, it doesn't make sense that the lender would be responsible if something happens to the money. We'll say, you can't have a situation like that where an item is in someone else's possession, but yet the owner of the item is responsible for onsim. It doesn't make sense. So therefore, again, so it comes along, so he explains, so he says, I said about this, that ultimately, again, once the money is given over to the borrower, the borrower is responsible for all onsim, right? We'll say, ultimately, again, what's the reason? Logara misha'ila, because this is no different than borrowing an item. Masha'ila dahadra ba'enei chai ba'onsin, mivala koshkin. So we'll say, like when you borrow an item, so when a person is a shawl, a borrower, so again, halacha l'maaseh, he borrows the item, he has to give it back to the owner intact, and he's chai fa'onsin. So we'll say, so obviously everyone's going to agree that as soon as the lender gives the borrower the money, the borrower is responsible for onsin, for anything that happens to the money. What's the machlokes? So we'll say, what's the machlokes? Before the money has been spent. So in other words, lender's giving the money to borrower. Borrower's holding a stack of cash. Does the lender have the ability to call the loan back? That's the machlokes. One opinion says yes, because as long as the borrower has not spent the money, lender has the ability to call it. As another opinion says, no. Once it's been given over to the borrower, that's it. Mavala al-tsan, it becomes the possession of the borrower. But again, in terms of own sin, everyone's going to agree that it's the responsibility of the borrower. Elahacha, Milva Bershus Bailam the Chazara Ikebenaya. Oh, so we'll say here it is. So what's the machlokes? So we'll say the machlokes is when you have loan money in the possession of the borrower, right? Does the lender have the ability to call the loan or not? The Elahadam Ravuna Hashol Kardo Michabero. We learned. We'll say that what? And I will say that we'll have to. We'll stop over here for today. We'll pick up with this sugya tomorrow. And I will say, tremendous, tremendous. So you'll stop here. Shkoyach. Do they need help with that? No. But it's in the room. What time are they diving?
What?
What time are they diving?
7:30 and 3 p.m.
Yeah.
If anyone wants to help make a Shiva house for Elizabeth, the father of Elizabeth Green, there's a Shiva house at 7509 Labyrinth Road. It's at 7:30 a.m. and then mincha at 3 p.m.
warm was your equipment call? 6:30.